And as we get into God's Word this morning, just to let you know, there is a half sheet outline in the church bulletin if you'd like to follow along that way. And we're in our second week of our series called Old School, where we're going to be looking at eight different Old Testament biblical characters. Now, I want to ask you, how many of you have ever had a time and where someone came through for you? Can you think about that person? Yeah, you can, and I know I have. I remember when I was going to buy my first car, and I didn't have the credit I needed, so my dad co-signed and reminded me that I needed to pay my bill, or he would be stuck with it. But I had someone come through for me. Maybe it's been something financial. Maybe somebody was there on your side through a difficult time. But it's great when we have people who will come alongside of us, who will journey with us. And that's what we're going to see here today. In our passage, we're going to take a look at Genesis chapter 22, and the message today is titled, God Will Provide. We're going to see a story of a gentleman by the name of Abraham, who was promised by God, you are going to become great. You're going to have a great nation. You're going to be the father of many nations. And yet what Abraham did was he and his wife Sarai at the time, they began to think about ways that they could make God's plan implemented. And they went about and did it their way. And Abraham had a son by the name of Ishmael. And at this part of the story here in Genesis chapter 22 with Abraham, Ishmael and his mother Hagar have been sent away. And his son Isaac has been born, and Isaac's a little bit older in age, and this brings us to the place where God is going to test Abraham's faith. He's going to see where Abraham is with his commitment to the Lord. And if you're following along in your outline, here's what we want to get across today is this, is that God wants us to give our all. God wants us to give our all. Jesus says in Matthew 6:33, you may be familiar with it, but it says this, seek first God's kingdom and what God wants. Then all your other needs will be met as well. A lot of times what we're committed to is reflected in the decisions we make in the life that we live. And whether it's with our jobs, with our extracurricular activities, whether it's with school or with relationships or trying to, as we talked about last week, blending in with the culture. But we saw last week with Noah, we saw that what God asked him to do was something ridiculous. But what God saw, what Noah did was faithfulness. And so that's what we're seeing here today. And what we can do is that in our lives, we can choose to hang on to everything that we think is dear to us. Or we can hold things loosely and make God our stronghold. So that's where we want to go today, is being challenged and encouraged to be people who give our all. And then what we want to do in what it means for us practically is to talk about going with God. Now, in the story of Abraham, if you take time this week, in Genesis chapter 12 through 22, that is Abraham's story. And we're not going to take 10 chapters today. We're going to look at a few verses in chapter 22. But once again, it's a story of faith being put on the line. And so if you have your Bibles with you, let's turn together to Genesis chapter 22. Genesis chapter 22, we're going to look at verses 1 through 3 today together. And it'll be on the screen also. But again, Genesis chapter 22, beginning in verse 1. It says, sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, Abraham, here I am, he replied. Then God said, take your son, your only son whom you love. Now, just to let you know that he had another son called Ishmael, but Isaac was the child of promise. Okay, so we're going to get to that in just a bit. But he says, take your only son whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on a mountain I will show you. Early the next morning, Abraham got up and loaded his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son, Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. Let's just pray together and then we're going to get into God's word. Father, we come to you today and we see a story of a man who is being tested by you. And so, Lord, there are things that in our lives that may be difficult that you're asking us to do. There may be things in our lives and where, God, you're asking us to give up for your name and for your kingdom. So, Father, teach us. Show us what it is that you want us to learn today. May your Spirit speak to us, Father. We empty ourselves so that you may invade our lives, so that we can be changed and transformed by the power of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. So we see here in these beginning verses of Genesis chapter 22, Abraham says three words as God called his name once. He said, "Here I am." And this story, as we said just moments ago, this is a story of God testing Abraham and his faith. And it's interesting to see that he responds with, "Here I am." And what God does is he gives Abraham an instruction. So we see that God calls, Abraham responds, God gives instruction. And he says to him, he says, "Take your only son and sacrifice him." Now, I want to let you know, in that culture, in that day and time, that child sacrifice was a norm. And so people in pagan religions would sacrifice their children to the gods. So Abraham may have understood what was going on, but I mean, just think about it for a second. What would make God ask him to do something so crazy? That just doesn't make any sense. Was it because of how he handled the Ishmael situation? Was it because that God just wanted to do something that was just out of the ordinary? We're going to see that that isn't the case. And what he's doing is he's testing Abraham, because he's seeing if Abraham is willing to give his all. And with burnt offerings in the Jewish culture, they would use burnt offerings in order to sacrifice an animal to atone for their sins. And so again, I began thinking about, how does that all play out? Like, was he doing this because of how he, once again, handled that Ishmael situation? I'm not sure, and I didn't see anywhere where it talked about that. But what we're seeing here is that a burnt offering, it means this. It means to ascend, to be brought up, or to go up in smoke. And so we see that Abraham responded. God told him, "Here's what you're going to do." And how did Abraham respond? It says that he answered God immediately, and he went and began to prepare for the journey. It didn't say that he looked on his calendar. He didn't check on Google. He didn't figure out how the travel's going to go. It says he got everything ready, and it says the next day he went. So Abraham, his son Isaac, and two servants are taking almost a 50-mile journey to the area of Moriah. And Moriah is a mountainous region. And so they go. And so on this trip of almost 50 miles, just wonder what everybody was thinking. You know, just the servants just walking along going, "What's going to happen here?" Because we know how these burnt offerings work, and there is not an animal here. Or, you know, Isaac looking at his dad, and then dad just smiling, you know, and maybe nobody's saying a word for the three-day trek. But just imagine that for a moment, a difficult situation and where Abraham obeyed God. In verse 5, when they get to the place that they were told to go, Abraham says to his servants, he says, "We're going to go, we're going to worship God, and we will be back." He didn't say, "I'm coming back by myself," or "We hope we come back." He says, "We will be back." And, you know, in my mind, I'm thinking, why would he say this if everything is not in place for him to do what God asked him to do? Well, in Hebrews 11:19, it says this: "Abraham reasoned that God could even raise the dead. And so, in a manner of speaking, he did receive Isaac back from the dead." So you're getting a little window as to how this story is going to play out, but it's important for us to see what leads up to it. So when we hear Abraham say, "Here I am," for you and I, we can respond to God with yes. We can respond to God with yes. When Abraham said, "We will come back," Abraham believed that God was going to come through for him. And so we see, for you and I in our situations, we may be challenged to do things God's way. And are we responding with yes? Are we hesitating? Are we saying, "No, that's not for me. It couldn't be me"? But yet we're seeing here that God wants for us to respond to him with yes. And so as they're preparing to go up Mount Moriah, we see that Isaac's putting all the pieces together. Okay, we got me and you, Dad. We got the wood, but we don't have the animal. Something's not right here. And yet, in verse 8, Abraham says to his son, he said, God himself will provide. He didn't say he was going to provide. He didn't say his servants were going to provide. He said, God himself will provide. Some Bible scholars believe that Isaac could have been between the ages of 11 and 25. And that's not for us to argue today. It's just to say that Isaac would have been old enough to carry wood, right? He would have been old enough to take this trek with his dad. And so what we see is that now Abraham comes and he builds the altar to God. And when he does, it says in verse 9 that he bound him. In other words, he tied him up or he restrained him. Again, if he's big enough to carry wood, he's got to be big enough to fight his dad. Like, you know, at that moment saying, Dad, this ain't happening. Because not only was Abraham's faith on the line, think about Isaac and his faith that he had to put in his father, that his dad knew what he was doing. Have you ever heard that saying, or you may have told someone, trust me? Yeah, and then sometimes we're like, I don't know if I can trust you. But this is what Isaac had to do as well. Abraham was, his faith was tested, and yet Isaac was cooperating in that act of faith his father was doing. We see here that he did not refuse to do it. He cooperated with his father in God's plan. And see, that was not only an act of obedience that we see here in Abraham, but we see an act of obedience to his father with Isaac. And so we also see here in this story, it's also a picture of the Heavenly Father and his son. Right? We're all familiar with John 3:16, for he loved the world so much that he gave his one and only son, begotten, in other words, his most precious possession, his son, to die for the sin of the world. And so we begin to see the gospel being played out here in the story of Abraham and of Isaac. And we see here that where Abraham says God himself will provide for you and I, we have to rely on God for the results. We rely on God for the results. When we step out in an act of faith, believing that God will do what he says he's going to do, we have to trust that he's going to handle the results. Again, in Abraham's story, he did things his way, and now God's saying, now, if you believe in me and you have faith that I can do what I can do, let's do this together. You see, God didn't go do this and you're on your own. He went with him. And in our own lives, when we rely on the results that God can bring, he will journey with us so he can watch us grow in our faith. You know, God will test our faith at times by asking us to give up what we have already been given. That's what he'll do. In my own life, I've shared many times up here, he said, I want you to go to Canada. I want you to come here to Willow Grove. I want you to adopt. I want you to do this. I want you to do that. And when you step out, you think, this is completely and utterly crazy at what he's asking me to do. And when I try to produce the results, it will come up short every single time. But if I choose to allow God to come up with the results, to be the solution to what he's asked me to do, then he's going to say, come with me. I already see. I'm already on the other side. But I want you to trust as you go with me. You know, the question really is, how do you respond to difficulty? How do you respond when God asks you to do something that sounds crazy or difficult? And you have to think about that. Because a lot of times we are all gung-ho to do the things of God. But then when we're asked, we kind of pause and we hesitate. I'm not saying it's easy, and I'm not saying don't be wise. Because we want to bring people around us or take time in his word and in prayer to find out if this is God, is this really what you want me to do? And so we see that Abraham responded to God by saying, here I am. He tells his son that God himself will provide. And we see in verse 11 the act that's about to happen and where Abraham says it's time to make this all come to fruition. And it says in verse 11, it says, Abraham reached out his hand. In other words, he was getting ready to strike his son to make that sacrifice on the altar of God. Now again, as we mentioned earlier, it's kind of contradictory to see that, wait a minute, Scripture talks about taking other people's lives is wrong. And so we see that he raises up his hand and then begin thinking, okay, we already asked, why did God have him do this? But what we see in this is that God was validating Abraham's faith. He knew in Abraham's heart that his heart was bent to do what God wanted him to do. And he was playing out, he was moving forward with that. But see, God's plan all along wasn't to have him sacrifice his son. God's plan was to say, my story of redemption, I'm going to use you, Abraham, but you have to trust that I know what I'm doing. That's what we see being played out here. Because he had committed in his heart to follow God, God was going to reward him by he and his son going home together. Remember what he said in verse 5? We will return. And God made that all play out right here in the passage. What God did was he provided an animal for the sacrifice so that his son would not be given up. Why? Because he saw in his heart, God saw in his heart that he was bent to do the things of God. Not only did he provide that animal, but that animal was sacrificed and they gave thanks to God. Just like last week where Noah, they made an altar to God after the flood was done, all those days, and they worshiped God and said, thank you for what you have done. Now, did God use a person in Abraham who was perfect? Absolutely not, because you read the rest of his story and there's times where he dropped the ball, times he got it wrong, but yet God said, I'm using you, Abraham, for my redemptive story. And he wants to use those of us who are followers of Jesus Christ to continue his redemptive story to the world around us. But what we see here in where at just the right time, at just that moment where Abraham was going to do what he was asked to do and God said, put the brakes on, we see that God is right on time. God is right on time. Whatever your situation is, whatever your circumstance is, and you may feel that God's not on time, but God's on his time, not on our time. And that's what you and I need to understand, because God was right on time. This picture of Abraham and Isaac and the lamb we see in the Gospel of John, where John the Baptist says, as Jesus is coming towards him, he says, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Jesus Christ, the perfect lamb. There's not going to be a need to sacrifice the way that we've been doing it for so long. Here he is. He's the one who forgives. He's the one that brings eternal life. He's the one that's going to take on our sin, our shame, take on our punishment. And so that's what we see again, this picture of Jesus all throughout this story. What I was reading this week is that Moriah, Mount Moriah, this region, is the place where David built an altar to God, where Solomon built his temple, and where Jesus was crucified. And so it all came around to God's redemptive story of bringing salvation to the world. Praise God. But we look at this old school biblical character and we see that he acted on faith. And we see that he went with God. And for some of us, it may be asking the question, God, is this really what you're wanting me to do? And be encouraged to take that next step, whatever that may be. Because what we see here in the gospel is that Jesus Christ himself said the same thing. If this is what you want for humanity to be saved from eternal separation from me, I am willing to go to the cross. And I will bear the weight of it all so that people can have the opportunity to say yes to a personal relationship with you. And that's what he did for you and I. He died for sinners just like us. And you may be thinking, man, I'm a mess. I'm a wreck. I know I fall short, but that's what God is saying to us today through Jesus. You bring it all. You bring your mess ups. You bring your faults. You bring your brokenness to me. And I'm the one who will redeem, and I am the one who heals, because our faith came at a great cost. It's through the person of Jesus Christ. And as we see in chapter 22, moving on to verse 14, Abraham says again, the Lord will provide. That's what that region is called, the Lord will provide. And again, just like we learned from Noah's story last week, imagine what a rainbow would mean to them after the flood, but imagine what going to Mount Moriah would mean after that encounter of faith by one man. The Lord will provide. Abraham could have been saying, listen, Isaac, this is the place that I will never forget. This is the place where God showed up. And Isaac was probably like, you're right, he did. You know, thank you, God, for showing up and doing what you do. Because what God was ultimately doing, he was inviting Abraham to be a part of his redemptive story. In Genesis chapter 12, verse 3, here's what God says to Abraham. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. And at the end of chapter 22 and verse 18, here's what God says again to Abraham. And through your offspring, all nations on earth will be blessed because you have obeyed me. And see, for you and I, that's what God is looking for. He is looking for us to give our all. And that will look different for each of us. Not everyone's going to be asked to pick up and leave and go. Not everyone's going to be asked to give away everything. But it's those things where God calls us and calls our name, and we respond, here I am. And we live in faith and obedience to what he wants for our lives. Because every time Abraham made a sacrifice to God, God responding by giving Abraham more. God said, leave your homeland, and he left, and he gave him a new one. He said, leave your family, and he gave him a bigger one. And he said, sacrifice your son. And he went through, and God encountered him. And what happened? Abraham is known as the father of many nations. That's what God will do in and through our lives if we are willing to say yes to him. And why was he called the father of many nations? It's because he gave his all. God told him, he said, you're going to be as numerous as the stars. You won't even be able to count the sand that's laying down there. That's how massive you're going to be. And thank you, Abraham, for being obedient, because here we are today celebrating the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's why we have families who say we want to dedicate our children to the Lord. It's because of a story that is still being written. And that story is going to come to a conclusion where he is going to return for us, and we are going to celebrate him forever. And that's what we see here, and I thank God for that. And so for you and I, why don't we just take a few moments and talk about going with God. Let's talk about going with God. There's three words I want to give you this morning as we look at how we can put this into practice. The first word we see here is obedience. The first word in going with God is obedience. Jesus himself said this, "You are my friends if you do what I command." You see, I know that I've been told this. What you say and what you do are two different things. So I can make a lot of promises and I can make a lot of commitments to my wife or to my family or to others, but if I don't follow through with it, it's meaningless. It's just empty words. Have you been there? Okay, maybe just me. All right. But how about this? How about just for a moment we think about expressing our obedience to God's ways? Just start there. Maybe it's just one thing. I'm going to make a commitment to have myself or my family here on Sunday mornings. We will be here. Or I'll look at what it looks like to be connected in serving or joining a small group or even stepping out and helping with teenagers on a Friday night. Whatever that may be. But when we begin to express our obedience God's way, we begin to have a peace-filled life. Not saying it's not going to be easy. I'm just saying we will have the peace of God that goes beyond anything that we can ever understand or comprehend. And so again, as I mentioned earlier, you know, it's getting into his word, God's very words to us. And if you're a device junkie, there's YouVersion. It's free. They'll give you free Bible plans. Those are just some ways to get started. Or the other thing is surround yourself around other believers, those who want to grow in their faith, and they want to know God in a more deep and intimate way. So the first is obedience. The second word this morning in going with God is the word faith. It's just the word faith. And in Hebrews 11:1, it says, now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. You know, I thought about that word faith over the past couple of weeks and dropping our daughter off at college. And I began thinking like, well, how's she going to do with friends? Or is she going to get connected? Is she going to do all right? Is she going to drop out? Is this going to happen or that? And I had to come to the realization is you have no control over that. No, really, you have no control over that. But what if you have no control over that. Well, what if she doesn't call? You have no control over that. And it gave me peace because I have to have faith to believe that she's going to be all right, that she's going to do her thing, whether it's hard, whether it's easy, whether it's difficult, however it plays out, I have no control over it. But what I do know is that my wife and I, with God's help, gave her the foundation. Not saying she's going to follow it to the nth degree, but what we do know is she has connected in a local church already. She got hired on the student campus ministry, so she's working there, and we're just like, wow, I had no control over that. That's pretty cool. And so you and I, we can have faith and trust in God's plans and begin to have that godly perspective in our lives. And when we get into God's word, we begin to say, God, help me with what I don't believe about what you promised. I want to trust in what you say. And then begin to live in that truth. And so when we go with God, we want to have obedience. We want to live by faith. And the last is surrender. We want to surrender. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 say, trust in the Lord with what? All your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. And what? All your ways. Submit to him, and he will make your paths straight. It's believing God with all of your heart. You know, the thing about God is he's a loving God, but yet he's saying, I'm looking for 100%. I will go with you all the way, but I'm looking for all of it. And I'm looking for all your ways to be submitted to me. So the thing is that we can be ready to sacrifice for God's reputation, and God will reward us for it. You know, these families up here today, they have children that they have a desire that they live for the Lord. And there's going to be those moments, as you all have already experienced, where we get the best here. But when we're home, we about want to, you know, maybe that's personal experience. But what I'm saying is that they said, we're surrendering our will as parents to God's will. Because we don't own him. He does. He has given us something to be responsible for. And that's not just with children, that's with our money, that's with our relationships, that's with our jobs, that's where we go to school, that's how we interact with people, how we behave. He has given us these things for our good, for his glory, and he's saying, you have to surrender when you begin to put your hands on it tighter than mine are. And he's saying, trust me with everything. Because I'm learning in my own life, the more that I surrender, the more I grow in my relationship with the Lord. Because it's not about me. You know, I'm not saying, watch me, watch me. I'm saying, watch him, watch him. That's where we're going with that. And so we began by saying, God is looking for us to give our all. And some of you today may be thinking, wow, that was kind of creepy. You talked about sacrificing your children and child dedication. But what we're saying here, listen, true story. I asked, I was like, are you sure this is a good message to do? And I was encouraged. Yes, it is. It is. Because why? Abraham in his heart said, I am going to follow you, Lord. And maybe he made Isaac more important in his heart than God's plan and God's ways. We don't know. We don't know if that sacrifice was because he chose to do the Ishmael deal. But what I do know is that when he chose to give his all, God rewarded him for his faithfulness. And here we are today celebrating that faithfulness of Jesus Christ, who gave his life for each and every one of us. And so for you and I, James 1:12 says this morning. It says, God will bless you if you don't give up when your faith is being tested. Remember, God tests us. He doesn't tempt us. Temptation comes from the evil one. And Scripture says that God doesn't allow situations to get so overwhelming that you can give into it. He always gives us a way out. Thank you, Lord, for that. But he says, if you don't give up when your faith is tested, he will reward you with a glorious life, just as he rewards everyone who loves him. This message today wasn't just for the parents who were up on this stage. Maybe the question for all of us today is there anything in your life that is so precious, if you were asked to give up, you would begin to negotiate with God? Is there anything so dear to you that you would have a hard time letting go of if God said, let go? Maybe for you, maybe for some of us here today, maybe the question is, what needs to be brought up? What needs to ascend? What needs to go up in smoke in your life? What needs to be gotten rid of so that you can become the person that says, I'm going God's way? But maybe you just need to say today, God, I want this for my life. I want to have my heart bent towards you in all things. But I'm going to start today with just saying, here's my life. That's it. I'm starting today with just, here's my life, Lord. And use it and mold it and shape it into the way that you see fit. Maybe it's your marriage. Maybe you have to surrender your marriage. Maybe you have to surrender your kids. I've heard that saying, my kids are my life. Okay, well, what about when they're gone? Make God your life. And he will reward you with children who love you, who want to know the things about God. Not saying it's going to be easy, folks. Let's try that again. It's a hard life. But what he gives us and we're faithful with, he will reward us. Maybe it's surrendering your job. Maybe it's surrendering your new school year and how you step out in faith this year, whether it's with See You at the Pole students or those the FCA that's happening for those of you who attend Upper Moreland. Maybe it's surrendering your difficulties, surrendering your attitudes, surrendering your actions. Whatever that may be, that's what you know. And when we say, God, it's yours, that's where he'll begin to grow you, and he will journey with you when we begin to give our all. Center our lives on him. Trust what he's doing. And finally this, we don't have to fear when we step out in faith with God. He's given us a spirit of power, and he has given us his spirit to do that. Are you with me? Amen. Let's pray together. Father, we come to you this morning and we thank you, God, that you sometimes ask us to do crazy, impossible things. And yet we see here a story of a man who, in his heart, he was dedicated to you. And because he was dedicated to you, God, you tested him. You asked him to do something that didn't make sense. That, Lord, I know it wouldn't make sense to me. But yet, Father, you provided. If there's anything we walk away with today, may it be that when we give our all to you, you will provide, you will reward, you will bless. And it may not mean that it's going to happen immediately. It may mean that we have to struggle. It may mean it will have to be difficult in those decisions. But yet, what we know is that your Son even said to us, in this world, you're going to have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world. May we be people who give our all, God. May we understand that it takes obedience and faith and surrender. But let us ultimately, as we give our all, leave the results to you. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.